This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning. We are here live at WESB. And good morning, Mr. Master Gardener.
Good morning, Igor.
So we are here live, and that means we want to take your phone calls if you have any questions. You just heard the number, 368-9372. And what is on your plan for today?
Okay. On my mind is last week I did talk about bees, but I wanted to continue a little bit today because I noticed my wife and I were up at Lake Erie. And I got to talk to some gardeners and walk a few yards up there. And I noticed they're having the same problem we have, that the lack of bees, walking through some lawns with lots of clover. That's a place where you should see a lot of honeybees and bumblebees, and not seeing any. And, of course, some of the gardeners up there reporting the same things that some of us are having here. That the plants are growing well, but they're not producing any fruit yet. And of course, I think that's from the lack of the pollinators, the bees. So we have to do a little bit of pollinating by ourselves. And I recommended, you know, you get some of those little artist paintbrushes and go out there and start painting some of your flowers there to help pollinate them.
Now, to remind us, that means you take the brush and you get the pollen out of the female flower.
That's what I mean.
Birds and the bees.
Yeah. Yeah. Get the pollen out of the male flower and then go brush it on the female. And if you don't know which one's a male, which one's a female, well, then just go from flower to flower and brushing a little bit on each one of those, the very center of the flower inside there. And you're bound to get some good pollination that way.
Perfect.
But that will also lead me to some people are having a bug problem. And July is the bug month. And I had one person tell me that their roses were blooming great. And then all of a sudden, they're not blooming great. So I took a look at them. Matter of fact, even the blossoms are all gone. And I showed them that was Japanese beetles. Mm. They not only eat holes in the leaves, they'll eat the flowers too. And he just really hadn't noticed them. But it's evident after you look, because they are green. The beetles kind of a green. So they do blend into the plants. But if you look real close, you'll see those Japanese beetles. They're not real small. Japanese beetle is about the size of your fingernail, your baby fingernail, and real green and with all other kinds of metallic colors in it.
I was going to say they're kind of iridescent a little bit. Yeah. Like a little, yeah. Yeah.
So they're pretty. So if you do see them, you know, there's a lot of different things you can do. You can set up the Japanese beetle traps. You can just pick them and toss them into a bucket of soapy water.
Yeah, they are pretty clumsy, I remember, when
they are.
I had the big problem a couple of years ago. Yeah, you could just, like, knock them off of the plant. They fall on the ground. They're not really that quick.
Yeah, they aren't. They're very clumsy. And there's the chemicals, you know, Liquid 7 is a good one, or the Powder 7 is a good one, too, that you can help take care of them beetles. Other insects too, you know, the beetles will make a ragged hole in that leaf. That's one sign. Now, a slug that you probably won't see when you're out there in the daytime trying to see what's bothering my plant, they work at night. They also make holes, but their holes will be nice and round. That's how you can distinguish between a slug that you don't see in the daytime and a Japanese beetle that you will see. Now, if it's irregular chewing from the outside to the main vein, then that's probably caterpillars doing that work. And so that's how you can identify the difference between slug, Japanese beetle, caterpillar. But there are many other bugs that make little tiny, tiny holes. Now the slug, you know, those holes are going to be, you know, a quarter inch big around the Japanese beetle. That hole in the leaf may be a bit bigger. And then, of course, caterpillars are going to chew the edges, and it's real irregular. And it, you can just tell by it's a chewing edge on the missing part of the plant.
Now, is there anything to do about caterpillar? I know you could salt the slugs, and there's Japanese beetles traps.
Yeah. Yeah, caterpillars, yeah, you can. Number one way would be to pluck them off. Number two is you can spray your plants with soapy water. Experiment a little bit. Not all plants can accept soapy water, but most of them can. Then there are chemical ways, too. But my favorite way is I keep a bird feeder. Birds love and have to have caterpillars in order to raise their young. Caterpillars are full of protein. They're real important. A nest of chickadees, for instance. Chickadees, they may raise four young. And in that period of time, they will have to collect over 5,000 caterpillars to raise those four young.
Wow.
So even keeping a few birds around is a great idea. Or like at your house, chickens.
There you go. Well, you know, don't do that because the whole plant will be destroyed. You don't want to do that. Phone lines are open, 814-368-9372. Ask the gardener anything that you like. Mr. Master Gardener, excuse me. Master Gardener, Bob Harris.
And I like to repeat it because it's worth repeating. One of the best ways to identify and see if there is a bug problem is put a nice sheet of white paper right under the plant. And
he's showing us.
Yeah.
And then Facebook Live.
Tap on the foliage of the plant. That'll dislodge a lot of those insects. And then you can inspect it. Careful not to breathe heavy on that piece of white paper because a lot of those insects are just the size of dust particles.
Yeah, they're so light that
yeah. So then you can right expect off. It. If you see dust particles moving around, you probably have an insect pest, and it could be spider mites. That's a real common one here, or thrips. That's another common one. So let me talk about the thrip, though.
Thrip,
yeah. It's kind of elongated. They call them cigar shaped, but they're very, very small, less than an eighth of an inch long. More like a 16th of an inch long. You'll see them moving on the paper. But you can always just check your flowers. If you gently blow a little warm air into the flower bud, that excites the thrips, and they start moving around. And then you can see and identify them. Another thing you can do is what they call the thrip does rasping in the flower. And what it does is scrapes a bit of that flower. So instead of, if it's a yellow flower, instead of that all yellow inside there, you'll see that little scrape of white in there. That's from a thrip. Now, the spider mites, they're a little different. They'll just be round. They can be red. They can be brown. They can be green. And there'll be that little round piece of dust moving around on that white piece of paper. And also on the plant, you may see webs, but miniature spider webs, real fine, not like a garden spider that makes that big web that's in a neat design. The spider mite doesn't make a design. It just makes a real fine, cottony web. And that's a sign that the spider mites are there. Now, they're really easy to take care of in your garden. Just a blast from your garden hose will knock them off. They don't fly, so they hit the ground. And before they can crawl back up to a good feeding area, they just run out of gas and die. So they're easy to care for. So anytime you're out there watering your garden, you should just turn around and give your shrubs and some of the plants that can take it a good blast of water. And that'll keep them clean of spider mites and some of those and aphids and quite a few of the other insects. And so I brought up aphids. So I mentioned about that. A good sign for aphids that you don't even have to go look real close is the very tip of the plant, the very end of its growth, starts to droop like it's wilting. That's probably a sign of an aphid. They like the very new growth of the plant, and they'll suck the juice from there, and of course it makes it wilt. Another sign is if you have ants climbing up and down a shrub or a plant or a flower, then they're there to get the honeydew from the insect. That's the insect going to the bathroom. When they suck the juice out of the plant, they suck too much, so then they have to release some sugar water. The ants are collecting that sugar water.
And they call that honeydew?
Honeydew, yeah.
Well, that's lovely.
Lovely, yeah. Yeah. the ants will be a sign of aphids on your plant. And if you don't take care of it, you know, they can do some damage, to the point where a lot of that honeydew will sit there on the leaves, and then it starts to create a fungus, and that'll show up as a black growth on your leaves, and it can spread throughout the plant. So it's a good idea to look. And like I said, you don't have to get real close, you know, with a magnifying glass and so on, but that white piece of paper or just the signs of the very end, that growth tip drooping down, are signs of an insect problem, or the holes in the leaves. So then you have to do a little bit of work then. And of course, the more you look at your plants and inspect them, the more you'll get to know them, and the better gardener you'll be, and yada, yada, yada.
All right. Excellent. Hey, we have our email too, garden@wesb.com. So feel free to send an email or just comment on facebook.com/WESB1075 if you would like to ask Bob anything about gardening here.
Some of us are probably starting to notice a little yellow spots or brown spots in our lawn, you know, and it's nothing to be really concerned of if it is just due to a bit of drought and heat. Lawn loves cool, damp weather. So when we get into the hot, dry, sunny days of summer, it seems to brown up. It's not dead. It's not dead. It's going to take 4 to 6 weeks of this, which we never get, in order to kill the plant off totally. It's protecting itself. It's taking all that water out of that green blade, sending it down into the roots, preserving it there, so when the rains do return and the cooler weather, that it can grow back, and we'll have a green lawn again.
We have a phone call.
Yeah, so let's take it.
All right. Hi, good morning. You're on the gardening show.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you know a place that we could go and have our garden tools, our cutters, shears sharpened?
Oh, boy. I think some of the hardware stores offer that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, which ones, I don't know. You know,
call around, yeah.
Geez. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. You stumped the gardener.
So my guess is going to be that Reynolds Store used to be Bissett's. I can't remember what the name of the hardware store is.
I don't know.
Back in there, they had a Reynolds store.
Uh-huh.
I know that they used to sharpen tools. So you can check with them. Another one on West Washington Street, Ace Hardware, you can check with those people too. They may offer that service.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Okay, you bet.
All right, have a great weekend. Yeah, so you don't sharpen your stuff, huh?
Oh, I do. Constantly. Oh, yeah.
You don't have it done.
Oh, no, I don't have it done.
You do it yourself.
I do it myself.
Well, geez, it sounds like maybe you should have another side business here. With sharpening other people's things.
And you know, if you just get a nice file, you can do all of that yourself with a little bit of practice and take your time. You can keep your tools sharp with no trouble at all.
And you know who sells files? Our good friends at Worth W.
You
Smith
betcha.
Hardware. That sponsor the show, and we'll be right back with more Master Gardener Bob Harris and the Gardening Show. Back in 30 seconds, B107.5.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Stay comfortable this summer with a room air conditioner from Worth Smith. Get them while they last. Doing some drainage work? You'll find culvert pipes 6-inch to 48 in 20-foot lengths. Lots of wheelbarrows in stock, too. Doing some camping? Visit their new RV parts department for your quick repairs. There's a big supply of canopies in stock, too. And don't forget to fill up your propane tanks. If you need it for summer, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show on WESB, 75 years of serving Bradford. Yeah, this is our 75th. What do they call that? That's not a gold. Is that a platinum?
Boy, I don't know.
Gold's 50, right?
Yeah, gold's 50.
Silver's 25. What's 75?
Yeah, it might be platinum. I don't know.
We'll call it's honeydew.
That's yeah, honeydew.
It's going to be on my brain all day.
So the lawn there.
We're talking about the lawn, yeah. Yep. So my big square where I had my tarp laying in the lawn, it's all brown, my square brown patch. It's not dead. It's just protecting itself?
Yeah. Okay. Basically, and it's hard to believe, it went dormant. Grass can go dormant in the summer, unlike a maple tree goes dormant in the winter.
I only had that tarp on there for a half a day. Now it's been two weeks. And it's still dormant. Oh. Wake up, grass.
And it will, as soon as we get some nice rains, it'll, and if you have patience, it may take a week or two, but it'll green right up. But other things besides yours, you know what happened to yours. But if you really don't know, other things that could be is bugs feeding underground. Now it won't be the grubs. Earlier it could have been the grubs, but all the grubs have mutated or grown up and into beetles now. But there are other insects in there, in the ground, that are coming to life and feeding on your grass roots. So a way you can tell there is I always like to take a gallon coffee can. You cut the bottom out, the top out. You stick it in your lawn and fill it up with warm, soapy water. And those insects will float up, and then you can decide whether if it's one insect, no big deal. It's not the problem with your grass. But if you start to see like a dozen or more, then that's probably why that little patch of grass is brown, because you have insects feeding on the grass roots. Of course, there's things you can do to combat against that, or you can do like some of us do and just let nature take its course. That grass will come back eventually. It just may be brown for a while. And also, there's just watering your lawn once in a while. I'm not a big believer in it. If I'm starting a new patch of ground or trying to get some seeds in the lawn to germinate, I will water. But otherwise, I just let nature take its course. Our lawns are all used to that. And putting up with a little brown for a few weeks of the summer is no big deal to me.
Now, what you were telling me off the air a couple weeks ago, or was it last week, that all of our lawns, all of our grass are not native to this country?
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Everybody, there's grass everywhere.
Yeah, there is.
There's fields of grass.
Yeah, I forget. I used to know how many acres. It's like 40 billion acres in America. 99% of all our lawns, you may get way out west where they have some native grasses, but the rest of us, they're not native. Most of them come from Europe and Africa. They have all been hybridized to grow better in our climate and what we want out of them. There are grasses that will... let me talk about a few of the different grasses that we get here in Bradford, because you don't really care about grasses in Florida. So in Bradford, most lawns are made up of usually three different kind of grass, which is a good idea. We don't really want one kind of grass, because a monoculture is very susceptible to disease and insect pests, and we can lose it in a hurry. So by having a variety of grasses, and that would be Kentucky bluegrass, rye grass, and fescue grass. Those three varieties mixed together, they all like each other. And, of course, it makes it tough for any disease to take over in that case. So that's what our grasses are made of. If we have a shady area, we're probably going to have more fescue grass. And you can tell that it's a fescue grass by, it's a real fine hair grass. And then we get up to like the bluegrass, a little thicker blade, ryegrass, even a little thicker blade. And of course, they all have different growth habits. The fescue grass is what we call clump forming. Once a plant starts to grow, in order for it to multiply, it multiplies within that clump. It just expands that clump. Now, the rye and the Kentucky bluegrass, they multiply by runners. The runner that'll creep across the ground or just under the surface and then pop up, and a new grass blade appears there. So that's the difference between them. You can tell that way, too. And, of course, don't forget clover. Clover's not a bad thing in the lawn, really. Some people it bothers, but a lot of us it doesn't, especially a lot of us that have a real extra well-drained lawn, and it dries out quickly and turns brown. The clover will remain green for us, so we still have that. So,
and again, the clover attracts the bees.
Attracts
which
you
the
want. Bees and supports the bees. Because for some reason, you know, and really scientists haven't nailed it down, they need all the support we can give them right now.
Mm.
Until we can figure out what the devil's going on.
Well, didn't you say the honeybees aren't really even native?
Yeah, either? They're not native either.
So that's the problem. Maybe it's going back to, you know, how the land,
the cycle of nature
originally was. Maybe we need, do you think there'd be a repopulation or like reintroducing, you know, like if they breed bees or something like that and let them loose?
Well,
is that a possibility?
Well, I don't understand.
like if import more bees.
Oh, yeah. And there are groups working on that.
Oh, okay.
Because there are those groups that think the honeybee, since it's basically come from one or two queens that came to America, so the inbreeding is catching up, and that's making the population crash. So some people think, well, we got to import, and they take the DNA of these bees, too. They're trying to find some with different DNA and introduce them to America so they can start mixing the DNA population and maybe get a stronger population that way.
Well, there you go. And then pretty soon we'll be taken over by the bees. They'll be our overlords. And
but also a lot of us gardeners are noticing that since the honeybee, an imported bee, is decreasing in population, some of our wild bee population is increasing too in some areas. Some areas it's decreasing also. So all the bees are decreasing somewhere. But some native bees are increasing.
And then you get the murder hornets, and then
yeah,
they're all in trouble.
Yeah. Holy mackerel, yeah.
That's funny. So we have about 8 minutes left in the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Phone lines are open, 368-9372, if you'd like to ask Bob a question about bees or bugs or plants or grass or whatever is on your mind that's growing outside that you need a little bit of help with.
So I'll talk a little bit about vegetable gardens, because like I said, I noticed, you know, not only here in Bradford, but even up on Lake Erie, they're having a problem producing the fruit, and we got to do some pollinating ourselves. Now, the tomato plant's a little different. It can be pollinated different ways. A bee can transfer pollen from one blossom to another. The wind can also transfer. Same with corn. Corn can be wind pollinated too. The tomato plant can be pollinated by the wind, or it can be pollinated by you just giving the plant a little shake. That releases a lot of the pollen. It floats around in the air, and the male pollen will land on the female stigma, and of course, then the plant is pollinated. So we can pollinate that way too.
How about just getting out the leaf blower and blowing your...
Well, that might blow the pollen right away.
Ah, doggone it. All right.
But most of our garden plants are going to need a pollinator. And whether that be the bee or you, we're going to have to try. And like I said, you know, I think I said last week, you know, it can even be kind of fun, you know, looking at the blossoms, taking a little paintbrush around and brushing it from blossom to blossom. Get the kids involved so they get to recognize a plant, you know, show them this is a squash plant. Here's a squash flower. We got to take the paintbrush deep inside the flower and try to get some of the pollen and then pass it on to the next flower. So it's teaching them a lesson that maybe they're not going to get in school, but it's going to be a good lesson to them. So and maybe they'll enjoy it. And of course, it may save you a little bit of labor too, you know.
Hey, there you go. they fall in love with the hobby, and then all of a sudden you have beautiful gardens outside and flowers. And
true, yeah. So yeah, try to get the whole family involved with all that. And, you know, and even while you got the kids out in the garden, try to show them some of the insects, some of the good insects, some of the bad insects that may be affecting the plants. You know, maybe the kids can get involved there.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of insects, Daddy Long Legs.
Yeah.
What do those do?
Oh.
Because I've been finding those around and plucking it off of certain things here and there.
Yeah.
Are they harmful to
plants?
They're
not harmful in any way.
What do they even eat?
They're just smaller insects.
Really?
Yeah.
They're so tiny. They're just little dots, you know. They have the big legs, of course.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they eat things like mites and things like that?
No, not mice.
Oh,
no.
Mites.
Oh, mites. Yeah.
Like spider mites.
They eat mites. Yeah.
Oh, yep. Perfect.
So,
okay.
So they are a beneficial. We call them.
Okay, so don't get rid of those daddy long legs.
That's right. Don't get rid of them.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay, well, I learned my lesson, and I won't. I've been plucking them off and feeding them to my chickens.
Oh, okay. they
seem to enjoy them. I don't know. All right, leave them alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're most, and I think I told everybody about this, most insects are beneficial. Here in Bradford, of all the insects, only 2% are bad insects.
Mm.
Only 2%. Of course, their population can seem extreme to us.
You notice them more, right?
Yeah. Like the ants and the mosquitoes, you know, we just it seems like there's a lot more of them than the other insects. But no, believe me, there are a lot of insects. And if you allow nature to really do its job, it can keep itself in check. I know it's hard to do. You know, and there's going to be some damage, you know, and that's one of the things, too, that I always stress with gardeners. It's great to grow your own tomato on your own plant, but also be tolerant of a little damage. It's going to happen. Whether
you're not going to have museum quality.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be perfect.
And just don't even try because it can be too aggravating. Just accept a little bit of damage and be happy with what production you do get. Every year is going to be different. Some years, maybe I'm only going to get 20 tomatoes off my plant, and then other years I'm going to get 40 off of it. You know, that's Mother Nature. You can't control it all. So just try to accept what Mother Nature gives you from year to year.
There you go. Don't fret so much over it. Just gardening's supposed to be relaxing, right?
It is. It's supposed to be relaxing.
All right.
And it can be.
Yeah. Okay. So whatever happens, happens. I like that. See, that's my philosophy in life. Whatever. I don't know.
We do have some control. You know, we can make sure our tomato plant is well watered and well fed. But the other things are just out of our control.
Very good. Well, the things that are in control is you. Next week, we'll be back with more Ask the Gardener here for the gardening show. And, you know, I say you're in control because you could ask him anything you like. Steer the show to what you want to talk about.
That's right, yes.
And so with that, we remind you that we are on demand at WESB.com on the Listen tab, so you could check that out. And not only anything from this season, but previous seasons are on there as well.
Great.
And a lot of information there. And we're on Facebook Live as well. We'll talk to you next week, every Saturday morning, 8:30, sponsored by Worth W. Smith Hardware. It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. Have a great weekend, Bob.
Thanks, Igor.